That was over in 6 minutes.
You just sat down?
Yes. And the apron issue, where we wore the same apron for 6 weeks. Tom was actually pretty good. He was on good terms. My husband had a very nice way with management. He didn't, he wasn't the man that was unfair. Mm-hmm. He had a very nice way. You could talk to him, a very, very understanding, very reasonable person. And he had a nice way of putting it. Like, I know even the men at Canron wrote me some beautiful letters about Bill, and they said that what they liked about Bill, he always zeroed right in on their issue and had a way of, you know, he was never unfair. After all, here's something else a lot of people are not aware of. When you're organizing, dealing with management, you always have to look at their problem too. They have problems. And it's not a one-sided street, you see. You have to learn to work together. And if you don't do it, then you're out of luck.
Were there strikes at the White Lunch?
We had a girl was let out there for 6 weeks. So we had a picket line up for 6 weeks to protect her job. And ultimately, they took her back. But the house was on the unfair list at the Labor Council. So when I became business agent, I went to see Mr. Sorensen. And I told him who I was. And I said, as a delegate to the Labor Council, I'd like to take their name off of that list. And see if we couldn't get together on making it a union house. Well, we couldn't, but then we left it in friendly state. Never fight these people, because that's not the answer. And we left it at that. Now, I worked at Woodward's for 2.5 years after I left Love's. And what amused me was Mr. Love came to the shop a few times, but I pretended I didn't see him. I thought, if you want to talk to me, you talk to me. And so maybe I was wrong, maybe I wasn't, I don't know, but I just left it at that. So I worked at Woodward's for 2.5 years and got on very well there. And I was elected as a shop steward, and Mr.
At Woodward's?
Yes.
Was Woodward's organized?
No, but I was elected as a shop steward from the group. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Lepofsky made darn sure I didn't go as a delegate, but he didn't say anything more.
Who is Mr. Lepofsky?
He was the manager of the restaurant.
Right.
So guess who we catered for at Christmas time, the White Lunch staff. Mr. Sorensen saw me at, the dinner was at his house. When he saw me, he just went like that. He didn't say anything. He kept it quiet. He didn't tell Mr. Lepofsky.
What about the Only Fish and Chips? I heard there was a strike there as well during the 30s.
No.
No?
The Only Fish has been a union house over 60 years.
What other restaurants were struck?
Oh, Scott's Cafe. We had a picket line up there, Hotel Vancouver.
Would people generally respect picket lines at Scott's, that kind of place? Did
yes.
it depend on the clientele?
Yes, up to a point. We had a picket line up at Hotel Vancouver for over 6 weeks. There was a picket line up at the Georgia, and the strata of people that go to the Georgia or the Hotel Vancouver aren't easy people to deal with.
In terms of support?
No, and it was just shameless the way they'd walk in and out. Awesome. But we won the strikes nevertheless.
Were they around certification?
No, not necessarily. Around the conditions that the union wanted, and they settled the strike.
Was it hard to get certification?
No, not necessarily. I remember when I had the Trocadero.
Yeah.
We organized that house, and Bill was the business agent. And I'm not quite sure how this, I have forgotten the details of how we had it reorganized again. But I remember Benghoff was the president of the council then.
Right.
And he pitched right in there and got all those names, you know. And we had the agreement signed again. I was business agent then.
Right.
So we got another house at that time. But as I said, I might not have set the world on fire, but kept everything intact for the local.
So did most waitresses support the idea of unionizing?
They did in their union houses. But, you know, a lot of unorganized staff don't understand. And it takes a lot of talking to get through to them.
Right.
And
but it sounds almost like you were really on an organizing campaign in terms of...
You are always.
Yeah.
See, because you'll have girls that'll come to work in a union house that aren't members of the union. And they have the understanding that they have to sign up within a given period of time. Mm-hmm. They're quite prepared to work with you and get everything that you get for them and don't want to join the union. And it's just been made quite clear to them they either join up or have to get out. That's it. They have no other recourse. And we had some nice kids. There's always a strata of very nice people in the trade. And of course, again, it's up to you to find your level to get on with people.
Was it during the 1930s that a lot of the unionization spread through the restaurant industry?
No, in the 30s.
Right.
We had, I have to give Bill credit for a tremendous amount of work, very fine work.
So he would go around and organize and talk
yes,
to people?
Yes, not only that, but he also had to deal with the beverage dispensers, mm-hmm. people, because the union itself, you see, because it's a tough situation. The beverage dispensers and the catering work together, but we have separate meetings. And every now and again, a beverage dispenser will try and give me the business, you know, about going in the beer parlor. I happen to know all the back business of the locals, so I can talk right up.
So the union had jurisdiction over both kinds of jobs?
No, you don't have a jurisdiction over the beverage dispensers, but you find your level to keep things
the two
harmony.
Unions to work together.
Yes.
Right.
I remember the international man came here one time to fire one of our business agents. And I was really keen about this. I was curious because I have never met any of our international people outside of one. And he's passed away since. So... God, here he walks in. We met at the beverage dispensers hall, and I looked at him. He had a diamond pin in his cravat, and he had a cane with a dog's head and two diamond eyes, and he had a diamond ring, and he had this cravat thing here, and brother. Very nice, so everybody had their little say, and then I got up and I said I was delighted to meet our international man, and thought it was very nice of the Hawaii local to have been so generous with him, and delighted to meet him and all the rest of it, but I wasn't delighted with the idea that he was coming to fire a business agent who had done a terrific amount of work and a very fine job. And if you can keep the Union houses on the go with no nonsense. You're doing all right.
And what year was this?
This was the year, I don't remember the year now. It's about, I'd just be hazarding a guess, but that happened about 10 years ago.
Right.
And more than that, about 15 years ago, and I thought, to come to lay off one of our people was kind of hitting below the belt.
Was there an ongoing struggle between the international and the union up here?
They have it worded in this way. Bill was doing terrific work. But you see, unions mm-hmm. at that time were not as, not politically sharp. A lot of them are duds. And international wanted rid of Bill. He was doing wonderful
because
work.
Because of his politics?
Yes. And so they had it worded in this way. If he couldn't meet with the beverage dispensers, and be in the cahoots with them, he couldn't be in... They had it worded very cleverly. So Bill was out, and he went to the marine workers. There was a big story behind that. And I don't remember all the detail, but anyways, Bill's done terrific work. In fact, it's been a tremendous loss to his union, because he was something special. I'm not saying it because he was my husband, but he had that wonderful gift of knowing how to get on with people, and he knew what he was doing, and he always the interest of the local at heart, and very much liked by everybody. He had that nice ability that, there are some people have that charisma to be right, and others who are duds at it.
So did the was the international successful in?
No, not at that stage. But there's been issues with them. But a lot of people, I hear them today. That I heard a trade union man from Canada say, oh, the thousands of dollars that are going to the States. That's not true. There's so much of your money goes, about a quarter from every dollar, and it's a strike fund that's set up.
Mm-hmm.
But to imply that there's more than that is not true.
Did the union change though in the late 40s at all? Like, I know that the IWA and other unions,
they've had problems.
Yeah.
Tremendous problems.
Did the union go through a similar kind of process with?
A little bit, but nothing that wasn't solved.
Mm-hmm.
After all, unions have all had a tough struggle.
Yeah.
And some of them have even been put in jail on principle. I know Bill defied the local on an issue, the international on an issue, and to fight for a right, spent one night in jail.
What was that around?
I don't remember all the fine detail of it, but I know the lawyer phoned to tell me that this might happen and not to worry because he'd be out the next day, you see. And sure enough, I was warned, and Bill warned me that this might happen. So one of the members of the union comes into Woodward's. I near flipped, did a double take. Here he comes in as a headline like that on the paper. And he comes in and he holds it up and he walks into the dining room like, just about passed out.
There goes your job.
I can imagine doing that. It was just about an hour before quitting time, and he walks in with this thing, to show me. And oh, really? I near died. But the lawyer had phoned me and warned me that this might happen, and so had Bill. But hadn't warned me about the tactics of this fella coming in with a paper. That man's dead now, but I'll never forget that as long as I live. I just about passed out with shock.
What kind of skills did organizers need?
An understanding of the work and an ability to talk. Mm-hmm. And the feeling for the whole industry.
Right.
As I said, it's not a one-way job. You're always too, you know, taking in consideration of management in this. So there was nothing demanded that couldn't be given. And in the final end, they gained anyways. I always think a union house gains because you've got organized staff and there's no nonsense about it. They know they've got to produce the work because everything you do reflects on your union if you don't. And that's only correct. May I give you another cup of tea? The man that has a shop that isn't union is a bit of a dud because you're giving a little bit more pay, true, but you're dealing with an organization and it's not a one-way street. You always have to look at the two sides.
Right.
And anyone that tells you no is not being truthful.
Right.
So I remember during the war, I got a call from 4 o'clock in the morning from Canron. The girls were on strike. I says, what do you mean you're on strike? I says, there's a war on. And I went to, I says, I'm coming right down. I got a cab and I went down to Canron. And you know, for the life of me, I don't remember what silly thing that was. It was some little argument between the girls. And I just rushed down there and I said, there's a war on. And I says, there's no such a thing as a strike. And get that food on the go. Because men were standing in a lineup waiting to get served. You know, after all, they only have so long. So the strike was on and off. We had many a laugh about it after, but it was no joke at the moment. It was some silly clown thing between the girls. I'll never understand it. Because mm-hmm. There's no such a thing as a war, you know, a strike on during the war.
Right.
And, gosh, when I think of those years, our people did a terrific role in that war. You know, when you consider the work done in the yards and the war progress with all the men on the job. So it wasn't easy.
Is that coming? Right.
When I think of all the, you know, the way we had to work in those days, and I watch girls working today, and oh brother, they don't know what it's all about. I laugh at them prancing around with high heels. And, you know, some of them, they look like they're... I laughed when I was up on Georgia. I felt like I was competing with some of the prostitutes going into the hotels, you know, the selling tickets. And I can't believe it. I'm looking at them. They've got high heels on, 5-inch heels, and they look positively ridiculous.
I hate that stuff.
Oh.
In terms of organizing, did you used to leaflet restaurants that were being organized?
Leaflets?
Yeah. No. Did the union ever do that?
No, you talk to staff. Right. You can't work with leaflets, you see. You talk to staff on the QT.
Did you have public meetings ever?
No.
No.
No, no. You met with them and chatted with them privately.
There was no legalization of unions in the 30s, was there?
Legalization?
Like, there was no laws that would protect you if you were organizing.
No. No, this is, you have a right to join a union. If you can mm-hmm. get the house to go union, so much the better.
Right.
But, no, this was all done in a quiet, friendly way, if you could get it that way. If not, if you got the majority to join the union, well, then the House either had to give in or fight.
So did the union you were in also encourage individual women to sign up, or men to sign up and become members, even if their whole house wasn't? So that you had individual memberships?
No, there's no such a thing as individual memberships.
Right.
If you join, and if you can get the House to go 1/50 percent, you can get it to union.
Right. Okay. Were there any employers who were like particularly hostile to unionization?
Oh yes.
What kind of things would they do to stop people from?
Well, threaten to fire you for one thing, or you had to get the majority. I remember one house where they came in and we had the majority, and the government checks every name against against the book, and if you can show that you have over 50%, that carries. But if you haven't, you're out of luck.
Who would do the negotiations once you got...
The business agent.
Going into that, right? And was there a steward structure for the union? Were there shop stewards?
Yes, where it was necessary.
Right. Was that mostly in larger places?
Industrial, or? Yes.
Right.
Industrial and union membership.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to have the majority in the House, you see.
Right, yeah. So what kind of work would the stewards do in your union?
Well, they represent the local.
Right.
And if you had a beef or a problem, you went up to him and he's supposed to settle it.
Were there a lot of grievances that came in for you?
No, nothing that you couldn't solve by discussing it.
Right.
You didn't, contrary to what you hear, you didn't go around batting people over the head. It's all done through talk.
What kind of grievances would people have? Were there any common grievances in the restaurants?
No. Outside of conditions or work or...
Being forced to work extra overtime.
Well, you're not forced, but it happens.
Right.
And you work to help out.
Yeah. What kind of issues were important in the contracts? Did the union ever try and set up hiring halls?
No, it all comes through the union. If a manager needs extra help, all he does is phone the local.
So when the union was into the restaurants, they would in fact hire through the union, not just hire off the street.
Yes, you can't hire off the street. You have to hire through the union.
And was that a very important part of the contract?
Oh yes. Yeah.
Why was that demand brought out? Was it in order to ensure that people could change workplaces if they needed to? Or?
Well, you can change jobs if you want to, but if it's a union house, the call comes through the union,
right.
You see, and they supply the help.
And
or if somebody should perchance come into the shop, and as long as they're willing to join the union, they can come in that way, but they, sometimes somebody will come along and want the job but doesn't want to join the union. Well, he can't do that in a union house.
Yeah.
He has to join.
Right. Was there solidarity in the labor movement, like on the labor council, with the attempts by the hotel and restaurant union to organize? Did people support the organizing work that was being done and give like financial assistance or?
In the Labor Council?
Yeah.
Well, they support the conditions, but they don't play a role in the, providing the help, as it were.
Right. Did they ever give money for organizing campaigns?
No. No. Although there has, from time to time, been things that they contributed to.
How did the, let me see, what were they called? When one of the things that the union, your union did, which I thought was always really interesting, was to sort of create a boycott on union on restaurants that didn't comply with union conditions.
Well, the way they do that is if it's brought up,
mm-hmm.
and there's some reason why you know, something should be condemned, they bring it up in the council, and that's how it works.
So it's like a blacklist of almost of restaurants that won't.
Only if there's a call from a union about mm-hmm. it.
Was that really effective in the 30s and 40s?
Yes, very much so.
Was that because the people using those restaurants were often other trade unionists who would not go there?
Well, if there's a shop that's on the unfair list, then the unions don't go. They speak against it and ask help.
Would it mean that union drivers wouldn't deliver there, for example?
Not supposed to. If they do, there's trouble. Come on, little fella. Oh, I got the wrong end.
So that, did that help to force the organization into those places?
Yes, if there's a shop that is practicing unfair tactics, then mm. and they appeal to the union, the labor will protect. I see there's a shop, Muckamuck.
Yes, they've been on strike for over a year.
A year. Now, is that shop open?
Yeah.
And who's working in there?
Scabs. Non-union people.
Isn't that unbelievable? Now, what does that mean? People are supporting that restaurant. Damn their hides.